listen to this man. He got some good news for you. Hey, everybody. Gather near. The doctor's in the house. So lend him your ear. The things he can say might even make your day. He might even help your pain go away. The doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. I'm sure he can tell you just what to do. The doctor is in the house. The doctor knows what's bothering you. The doctor is in the house.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Ron, host of Dr. Ron, Unfiltered, Uncensored. And the doctor is in the house for episode 522. What is the point of health? Well, you're going to have to bear with me today because I just thought I'd talk about this as I was having some lunch, because the topic of faith came up. So what is the point of health? But it ties in to everything I've been telling you. You know, if you're not your own doctor, you are a fool. It ties into the fact that medical error is one of the leading causes of death in the world. So you better be doing your own research. So let's explore this question. What is the point of health? Ben Franklin astutely said, by failing to prepare, we are preparing to fail. In today's fast-paced world, being proactive about our well-being is not just a choice. It's a necessity, ladies and gentlemen. We are called to be wellness warriors, to take control of our health, to take control of our health journey, to continually learn, and most importantly, acting on our knowledge. Here's where Ben Franklin comes in again. He says, tell me and I forget, teach me and I remember, involve me and I learn. We have to learn, continually learn. So I want to just delve a little bit into the various aspects of health from a practical to a spiritual view, because true health isn't just physical, right? It encompasses gratitude, a connection with the divine. We have progressed into a world where we are fractionated. I sit at dinner and I hear people saying, I've gone to my urologist, my neurologist, my pulmonologist, my endocrinologist, my podiatrist. You know, they have a physician for everything. We are not treated as a whole person. And I think from my training of the last 57 years, people want to be treated as a person, not like that kidney patient in room 302, that liver patient in room 101. That dialysis patient in room 200. No, we want to be treated with respect and as a whole being. And faith, ladies and gentlemen, has a profound ability to heal. It's a powerful force on our wellness journey, which I have not talked a lot about. And it could be through prayer, through meditation, mindfulness practices. But faith can provide comfort. It can provide resilience, and it can provide a sense of purpose that can aid in our healing and in our recovery. And on that point, within the near future, as I learn how to be more technically taught here, we will have Dr. Will Wong. Oh my gosh. Dr. William Wong, my good friend and a frequent guest on my podcast, and who is an incredible genius. He's a nutritionist. He's a natural healer. He's an Orthodox priest. He has a degree, a PhD in exercise physiology. It goes on and on. And Pastor Anthony Thomas, just to talk about faith and how we have gotten away from that. And we've just fractionated everything we know. You know, over these last 500 podcasts, I've discussed everything from electromagnetic frequencies, clean water, clean air, diets, genetically modified disease, organisms and diseases. I try to leave no stone unturned. We talked about all the wireless devices, methylene blue, red light therapy, ozone therapy. But this knowledge alone is not enough, huh? We have to translate that into action. So we're going to have a new journey. I've been trying to figure it out since the beginning of the year when I start talking about the wellness warriors, to equip ourselves with the tools and insights needed to thrive in both our mind, body, and spirit. And this goes back through the ages. We've just gotten away from it because in 1910, we started the allopathic medicine journey, which is a pill for an ill. As I said, there are 44,000 different diagnoses your doctor can give you. And every one of them has a pill. And there are pills for the side effects of the pills you got in the first place. And why are we not healthy like we should be? Why is U.S. life expectancy still falling? Why do we have headlines like, quote, extreme events, U.S. cancer deaths spiked in 2021 and 2022 in large excess over the trend, end quote. So why are people dying? Why do over 70% of seniors over 65 have a chronic disease of one sort or another? So maybe this pill for an ill paradigm is not working out so good. The report that I talked about cancer was a report that came out of Finance, PHINANCE Technologies. That report relied on data from the CDC. And it showed, I'll quote it, quote, we show a rise in excess mortality from neoplasms reported as underlying cause of death, which started in 2020, accelerated substantially in 2021 and 2022. The increase in excess mortality in both 2021 and 2022 are highly statistically significant, according to those authors. So why aren't we treating more holistically? I would say most people don't want to be thought of as a kidney or a liver. We want to go back to what we learned over the centuries and not being caught up and having a dualistic approach. We have to consider the body and the soul. And what went wrong? I don't know. We'll let Dr. Wong and Pastor Anthony talk about that. But this specialized pill for an ill technical approach of medicine has failed in its promise. It's failed to have compassion and care. I know when I was in practice, my patients didn't want to be a faceless individual, as I said, with a malfunctioning organ. And if we consider the spiritual aspects of our patients, they'll get better faster. But we have to understand it and talk about it. And we have to recognize that there are controversies regarding how religion and spirituality combine in practice. But we know that spiritually religious seniors are less depressed. Of course, we're going to get a lot of pushback on this concept, but it's been around for centuries. There's an interface between spirituality, the quality of life, and also mental health. And as I said, chronic medical illnesses and terminal conditions. There's a quote I want to tell you about from a person who has since passed, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. He said, "The last remaining religion is medicine. If you look at Sloan Kettering, it is actually like a temple, and the priests wear white coats and they speak their own language. Patients tend to bow down to that. Never underestimate the power of authority," according to Dr. Gonzalez. So if someone puts themselves up as a high priest, they don't want to hear about any competing belief systems. They are true and everything else is false. And as I said in my write-up, and as it came from Dr. Gonzalez, patients have to do the treatment they believe in. That's being the high priest of the allopathic medicine temple. Fear is an infectious disease. You can catch fear. And boy, don't we know that during the Chinese epidemic, the Chinese virus epidemic. You can catch fear. Everybody was fearful. But you know what's hard to catch? You can't catch faith. That has to come from within. And you know, once you catch it, there are physiological effects. And they all lead to healing, especially as I talked about in some of my other programs on the vagus nerve, when you activate that autonomic nervous system and get it out of the fight and flight mode and into the healing mode, get it out of the sympathetic nervous system and into the parasympathetic nervous system. And we can do that, you know, through practicing meditation, prayer, mindfulness. We will become more resilient. So there are so many things that happened today. It's incredible that maybe you want to talk about this. The increased mortality, the increased cancer rate deaths, the fact that doctors, even psychiatrists are pushing Ozempic, you know, a drug that came out for diabetes, and now everybody's pushing it for weight loss. And the pharmaceutical company loves it because you have to take it for life. Once you go off of it, the weight comes back. Isn't that a great business model, huh? Wow. And I came across a lot of articles this week on nicotine. Pure nicotine, I'll talk to you about that next week. Then I saw influenza vaccine, only 42% effective this year. Wow. Who would have thought, right? How they pushed their flu vaccine. And we have talked about heavy metals and so forth, but what gets me upset is the headlines that I read today, and also how doctors, a lot of them that I've seen recently, they're like dictators. They don't give the patient any room to wiggle. It's my way or the highway. There's no conversation. In fact, there's no examination. And when they do give you some advice, it will be, why don't you lose weight and exercise more? Eat better. And then they leave the room. Well, what does that mean? It takes some, you know, either they have to explain it or their staff. Let's go through a Mediterranean diet, an Atlantic diet. Let's see what it means to exercise more. Does it mean lifting weights, riding a bicycle, being on the treadmill? What does it mean to eat better? Do I use the sugar supplements, which are toxic and cause us to gain weight? But somebody has to tell me that. So this type of advice, do this, do that, is ineffective. It's like giving an order, right? And most appointments are in a hurried fashion anyway. So eat better and I'll see you next month. But I'll tell you, everybody wants to be healthy and lead a healthy life. But they have to be helped to overcome their bad habits. And that's why, you know, they're teaching physicians in school now how to communicate. Wow. How to communicate, especially how to get patients to make lifestyle changes. And, you know, if you've listened to me for a number of years, you know there's something called epigenetics, which are 92% of our genetic expression. They can be changed. They can be changed for the better with lifestyle changes. But it takes time. What do you think the reason for this rise in functional medicine is? Because it's a desire from the patients to focus on lifestyle changes that can make the disease better. But those changes also take into account that the patient has to take responsibility for their healthcare also. But the healthcare provider has to support those changes. And the physicians and healthcare providers will be quite amazed at when the patient takes responsibility in their healthcare journey, they become a wellness warrior and they get better faster. They go on a mission, a warfare mission to get better. But the young docs don't appreciate that. They don't have enough time for that. Patient engagement and motivation. Important for healing. So, you just can't say, do this, do that. The patient has to be involved. In my experience, if I told somebody you have to stop smoking or stop drinking, and I said, I'll see you in a month, that almost never happens. It universally fails. But if I added some lifestyle changes and beneficial things to add to that advice and behavior changes and sat down with them and explained how eating more fruits and vegetables and a more colorful diet and walking, and maybe not having as much at each plate, maybe using a different size plate. I mean, there are lots of different ways a physician can talk about that. But doctor dictators, I'm sorry, you don't work. So we have to be in control, right? We have to be a wellness warrior. And we have to continue to learn. We have to engage with our patients. Do you want to get better? Do you want to reduce your symptoms? How important is your health to you? How about giving it a try for a few weeks? Let's see how we do. I'll be on this journey with you. If you don't like me, you know, go see someone else, but you need to go on a journey to get better. They're the type of conversations the doctors have to have with their patients now. Not lose weight or lose 20 pounds. You have to give them supportive evidence how to make that change. So enough about that. But that's why functional medicine and naturopathic medicine is really booming, because the allopathic Rockefeller 1910 medicine is failing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm trained as an allopath. We have the best emergency treatment available, but we don't know how to treat chronic diseases. We think there's a pill for everything. And even like just as a rabbit trail here, you know, we give, or I don't, but most physicians will say, you know, if you have pain or you sprain your ankle, take a non-steroidal ibuprofen. Well, it's proven if you know what you're doing, you're interfering with the healing, Mother Nature's healing of that sprained ankle. It not only takes longer to heal, you'll more than likely have pain afterwards. Short-term gain, long-term failure. And our colleagues in functional medicine, they don't treat to suppress symptoms. They treat to augment what the body's physiology calls for. And I'm glad to report that, you know, Cleveland Clinic and Mayo Clinic have added functional medicine to their staff. And they're realizing that the traditional allopathic Rockefeller medicine of 1910 is failing. We have to involve the patient and keep it holistic. We need experts, there's no doubt. We need drugs, but not every day for most conditions. So, just briefly, you know, we've heard about, and I've talked about, inflammation. Well, the cause of most chronic diseases. But I can tell you that a recent review in Science says that the Mediterranean-style diet can reduce inflammation and musculoskeletal pain. Well, inflammation causes aging. You know, it ages you faster. If you follow the Mediterranean diet, you might feel younger and have less pain. And how does it work? It does it by a lot of chemistry. Unknown to you, it increases alpha lipoic acid, it boosts coenzyme Q10. There's other fatty acids that are increased. And, you know, it does it because the Mediterranean diet limits how much processed and ultra-processed foods and sugar you eat. And what have I told you about sugar? It is a trigger for inflammation if eaten regularly. And I told you about processed and ultra-processed foods, how they've gone up and chronic diseases have gone up. So the Mediterranean diet has a diversity of fresh fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, fish, nuts, seeds, olive oil, and it's balanced by some dairy and some meat. So, you know, you need to think about, you know, you are what you eat, but I would go further. You are what you digest and assimilate. And we have to realize that certain foods have a very positive role and other foods have a negative role. So that brings me to the Atlantic diet, and then we'll call it quits for today. The Atlantic diet is something that is practiced in Spain. And I have a son-in-law that's an endocrinologist in Spain, quite good. And he never gives his patients a diet because they already eat pretty good in Spain. They don't have a lot of processed foods. Just says eat less of what you're eating. But the Spanish diet has more red meat in it. Interesting, isn't it? So for years, the Mediterranean diet has been in the spotlight, and rightfully so, because it works. But this lesser-known Atlantic diet is emerging. The Atlantic diet specifically draws inspiration from traditional foods in the Iberian region. As I say, they eat pretty good to start with. And it originates from the cooking of Portugal and Spain. The key difference, they say, between the Atlantic and Mediterranean diets is which foods are emphasized. They both focus on whole, fresh foods. How about that? However, the Mediterranean diet includes more grains and fewer meat and animal products. But when you do the science, following the Atlantic diet has been associated with less heart disease. Some cancers have decreased, and even some life expectancy increases. The Atlantic diet includes a wide range of fresh, minimally processed foods. And we're talking about vegetables, fruits, cereal, whole grains, potatoes, nuts, and legumes, various seafood and dairy products. But there is red meat, poultry, and wild game in there, along with olive oil. And wine is in both the Mediterranean and the Atlantic diet. The Atlantic diet relies on baking, boiling, stewing, or grilling. And there's something called the metabolic syndrome, which increases our chance of getting heart disease and diabetes. It's gone down when people have followed this type of diet. So there was a study published in JAMA, Open Network. The patients that followed that diet experienced a significant decrease in waist circumference and a lower risk of developing diabetes. So lifestyle choices can influence your outcome. And to get back to the spiritual side of it, one good thing about the Mediterranean and the Atlantic or Spanish diet is the social aspect. Why do I say that? Because traditionally, families would eat together at meal times. They don't eat standing up in their car, driving on a bus. They shared meals as a family, and that creates some strong social bonds. And the number one reason why people live to 100 and beyond is social relationships. So having this strong social network can be beneficial, right? And let me tell you, people have enjoyed meat throughout history because it contains important vitamins and minerals and is a great source of protein. And when you eat a Mediterranean or Atlantic diet, you really support your gut microbiome. And what have I said for years? A superior interior. When you have a diverse microbiome, you have a great immune system. You are healthier. But also you reduce insulin resistance and you boost your mental health. Isn't that something? And you didn't have to pay for it or go to a psychiatrist. But the red meat quality is key to the whole equation. Can't be processed red meat. Seek out as much as you can organic, grass-fed red meat when possible. Don't fear that type of meat. So look forward to a note from me on a conference that will include a naturopathic doctor who is also a priest and a pastor who is a Marine. And we'll embark on this journey of empowerment. We'll try to give you the tools and insights you need to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. Dr. Wang is a great student of history, and we'll use that to harness the wisdom of the ages. so we can strive to be happier, healthier, hornier, and higher. That is a happier existence. That will be our holistic wellness warrior challenge. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Ron, host of Dr. Ron Unfiltered, Uncensored. If you want to follow us on Podbean, you'll be notified when there's a live podcast going on, and you'll be notified when our regular Tuesday podcast is out. We're also on Rumble and BitChute. Those of you that follow LinkedIn, we're there also, and we're on Apple, and I even found it on Alexa. They give you the last episode. So wherever you get your Podbean, wherever you get your podcast, I mean. So let's call it for a day, and let's try and handle the truth. Don't be like Jack Nicholson said in a movie, you can't handle it. Yes, we can, and we'll go on from there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next week.
Hey, everybody, Dr. Ron's finished for today. I hope you got some good wisdom for what the man had to say. If it's all about good health, he's the man you got to see. He has a lot more answers for you. So tune in next week when the doctor is in the house. Or when the doctor is in the house. And let the doctor know what's bothering you. When the doctor is in the house, the doctor is in the house, doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. I'm sure he can tell you just what to do. The doctor is in the house, the doctor is in the house. Let the doctor know what's bothering you. When the doctor is in the house. So if you have a pain, call the doctor. And if you have a strain, call the doctor. And let the doctor know what's bothering you. When the doctor is in the house. The doctor is in the house. See you next week.